Hillary woman is Elijah Davis of Trotha Apostolic Sanctuary Congregation outside of Trotha in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 3, 2016. It is Elu 1, 2020. We'll start our first service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled The Church in the Wildwood. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No love is found in the day. No place is so dear to my child as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the field. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the field. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the tree where the wildflowers bloom, where the party in hell will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the harbor. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my child as a little brown church in the field. How sweet on a clear Sabbath morning to listen to the clear ringing bell. It tones so sweetly and holy. Oh, come to the church in the field. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No church is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. And the church in the valley of the wildwood, when days fade away into night, I would thank from the spot of my childhood, we may wait through the matches of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. To my childhood as a little brown church in the rain. Part 12, Everlasting Kingdom. We're dealing with the tract of verse, that's Johnson's tract here, The Kingdom, Jubilee 1998. And what we're doing is we're going to connect this track up with Timely Greetings, Volume 2 of the Timely Greetings, number 22. We're going to find something very interesting here. It's called The Great Paradox of the Ages. As I was reading Willis Johnson's track, I was looking forward to the next page to see what was on it. And it talks about this here change of the leadership. Old ones cut off. And so the Holy Spirit impressed me to open up my book, The Timely Greetings. And I opened it up right to Volume 2, page 22, and it's talking about the same thing. So I'm going to coordinate Timely Greetings, Volume 2, number 22, with Brother Johnson's track here after I read read this page of 18, and then we'll coordinate the two together. It says that, let's first turn to a prayer thought, though, taken from Psalms 81. It says, sing aloud unto Yahweh our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Elohim of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and the law of the Elohim of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of the thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh, thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. You know, it uses this word, but their time should have endured forever. It should have used the conjunction, the word and their time should have endured forever. And then they would have said, and their time would have endured forever. She says, for the haters of the Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him, and their time would have endured forever. See, that's the correct usage. Instead of, but their time should have endured forever. No. And their time would have endured forever if they submitted themselves completely unto Yahweh. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. See, this should. It should have said he would have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Would I have satisfied thee? All right. Let's turn to now. Now let's go to Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, through Isaiah, Yahweh is asking this question to ancient Israel. He says, where is it? Where is it at? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Yahweh. But unto this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Now, who is he talking to here? Well, this is a latter-day prophecy. Isaiah wrote all of his prophecies before the latter days. So he hath be talking about the last ones in charge of the candlestick of Israel, of the sanctuary service. And more notably, the one that had completely restored it. And so this prophecy is for the 11th parabolic hour. Because he's asking the questions here. Where is the house that you build under me? Where is it at? For all those things hath mine hand made. Okay. So he says, now, where is all this at? But he said, because you have restored my house and you set up true time for worship, but that's all you did. You went about offering up your own form of offerings. So he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. So, back then, when they sacrificed a lamb, it was for the good reason and the right reason, and it accomplished its purpose. The lamb's blood stood and took away the man's sin that offered it up. But today, when a man makes an offering, that lamb don't represent his offering. It could be a dog or a hog or something. As far as he's concerned, that's all it amounts to. No more than that. So anyway, it goes on to say in verse 4 of Isaiah 66, after he said, yea, they have chosen their own ways. Who's chosen their own ways? Well, Isaiah 66 is the last chapter of Isaiah, but you know, we go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 starts out talking about this same people, and it ends up talking about this same people. Isaiah 1 says, hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth. This is verse 2. For the Yahweh has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So he brought up the Adventists, he brought them up, and he brought them up in 1844, and they have been a most rebellious house, just like ancient Israel. He says, I have nursed and brought up children. Yeah, he said, I brought up Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead in our day. And he said, they're all rebellious. So he says, he goes over in verse 8, he says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. So what does it mean? A besieged city. Well, the daughter of Zion, the last daughter of Zion, was Gilead's center. And this is what it's talking about. Except the Yahshua of the host had left unto us a very small remnant. That's the house of David. That's the folk who we represent. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Hear the word of the Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. So he's talking about the last two people that was in charge of the house of Israel. He's talking about Ben Roden's family. He's talking about Brother Johnson's family. There at both camps, one succeeded the other. This is who he's talking to. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What purpose are they? Saith the Yahweh, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beef, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats, of he goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my course? Bring the more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Now we're celebrating a new moon today, even as I speak. And is it in vain? I certainly hope not. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Okay, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. There's your key right there. The hands are full of blood. If you have stood in the way of sinners coming unto the altar to get remission of sins, you have stood in their way, and you have your hands full of blood. wash you, make you clean, put away the evil you're doing. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Now, it talks about the new moons, your new moons. It talks about the new moons in general in chapter 1. And then in chapter 66, it does it again. It says in verse 22, I believe it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which shall remain before me, saith Yahshua, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship for me, saith the other. Now, isn't this amazing? That this is going to actually be set up right here in the earth, and in this probationary time that we're in here in the 12th hour, this is going to all be restored. And this is what all nations are going to be required to do before they get on that glory-bound train headed through the sky blue yonder, to heaven. They're going to have to come and prove. Yahweh's going to prove them to see if they can do it here on earth. By setting up the kingdom of heaven here on earth, he's going to try to prove them to see if they can do it here. And if they can do it here, they can do it over there. But if they can't do it here, they're certainly not going to go to heaven and do it over there. This is a proving ground. Okay, that's enough for our prayer thought. Let's go ahead now right on into our regular study. We're on page 18 of Brother Johnson's tract, 1998. The Everlasting Kingdom. It says, another factor that lends credence to this event. Now this is Brother Johnson talking. The typology is that since 1 TGR 8, page 24 points out that the branch brings the revival and reformation. Said the branch brings the revival and reformation. Now, Brother Johnson said that he had the Isaac branch. Okay. So, how come then it didn't bring the revival and reformation? Well, apparently, Yahweh's servants, when it comes time to introduce the branch, which V.T. Hallett introduced the branch in 1955 before he died, said the next great movement. So he introduced the branch. Ben Roden took the branch, and he set it up in proxy. He did it the best he could, the only way he knew how, using the Jewish calendar, which wasn't a creation calendar, but nevertheless he attempted to sit. Set the holy days and set up the ordained system of true worship. He had worship twice a day at the nine and three. Okay, and so, but he didn't do it right. But nevertheless, he called it the branch. So when it says in Joshua, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8, he says, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Well, that Joshua and Zechariah 3 translates into this last servant, the branch. Okay, so apparently then we've had other servants of the branch. Ben Roden was my servant, the branch. Whenever he announced the branch message, that V.T. Hallett left on record for it to be the next movement. Ben Roden, his successor, took a hold of that theme, and he said, the branch. So, he's my servant, the branch. Whenever Ben Roden said that, about 1962, that's when he actually said that. So he was my servant, the branch. Okay. Brother Johnson comes along, and he says, actually, yeah, Ben Roden, he was a branch, all right, but he was the Ishmael branch. And then Brother Johnson has shown that he, Isaac was the one that succeeded Ishmael, that got the birthright. So he said, well, I'm the Isaac branch. And then Zechariah 3:8 comes along and says, behold, my servant the branch. So now here we have three servants in a row, Roden, Johnson, and Brunken, with a message called the branch. Now think about that. I mean, this is absolute facts. This is already recorded history. This actually happened. Okay. So it goes on to say that another fact that lends credence to this evidence, in Time of Reading, Volume 1, Number 24, points out that the branch brings a revival and reformation. But the thing is, Ben Roden didn't bring a revival and reformation with his branch. Brother Johnson did not bring revival and reformation with his branch. So who is this branch that V.T. Holliff is talking about here in Timely Greetings, Volume 2? I'm going to turn to Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 24, and I'm going to read it from his own handwriting, exactly what he was saying here. Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 24. Let's just go read it from V.T. Holliff's own handwriting. And I think Brother Johnson is pointing out his own Time of Greetings. Time of Greetings, number 8, page 24. Okay, let's get it right here. Number 8, 24, and I'm already right there. I got a marker there. So it says, on page 23, it says, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of Yahweh stood by. Now, who is this that got this fair mitre? This Joshua, the son of Joseph, back in Zechariah 3:8, which is my servant the branch. Okay. Not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. And what could such a matter denote other than the authority vested in him as heaven's appointed a ruler? And such he is clothed from his head to his feet, and the angel of Yahweh stood by. What a gift, and what a bodyguard. Now who is this angel of Yahweh? It's Yahshua the Messiah, his son. And he said, in spite of it, though, human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on the Yahweh side. Most of them had rather lean on a man. Verse 8, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Now, Ben Roden didn't have four men sitting before him that they could say these are men wondered at. Brother Johnson didn't have four men sitting before him that he could say these are men wondered at. And besides, Ben Roden didn't get a fair amount of sit upon his head. And Brother Johnson didn't get a fair amount of sit upon his head. Because that fair mitre is set upon his head by Yahshua the Messiah, that angel that stood by. So, whoever gets the fair mitre on his head is the true branch, is the true my servant, the branch. So, you had to get the Ishmael branch out of the way, you had to get the Isaac branch out of the way, Ben Roden and Verla Johnson, you had to get those two out of the way, and they came in the 10th hour, the Ishmael branch came in the 10th hour, and the Isaac branch came in the 11th hour. And my servant, the branch, Elijah David, comes in the 12th hour. Now, do you get it? This is very important. Just read this again now. It says, another factor that lends credence to this event, the typology, is that since 1TGR8, page 24, paragraph 1 and 2 points out that the branch brings revival reformation, that as a result, another church emerges of which Joshua is in charge, not Antiochical Moses, V. Jehoiada, not Benjamin L. Rudin, nor Laodicea. And since the text of the White House Recruiter, page 53, paragraph 2, shows that the branch is the Yahweh denomination of the day, with the charge of the Joshua, and that Joshua follows Antiochical Moses, V. Jehoiada, who delivered the shepherd rod message of 1930 to 70 A.D., it is therefore evident that the Isaac branch message, Isaiah 11:1, 10-12, under the antithetical Joshua, began to bring the revival and reformation, the great change in 1970, as pointed out by the prophetic history. The prophetic interval known as the end of the antithetical period of the shepherd rod and the beginning of the antithetical Joshua period, making it the beginning of the Isaac branch movement, that the antitypical Joshua is in charge of. Now he says the antitypical is Joshua. Well, the antitypical Joshua is Elijah. And so, and I would say then, V. Jehoiada introduced the rod in 50, I mean the branch in 55, and Ben Rhoden, his successor, kept the sound going. He kept the message going, and he started developing it, teaching about it, showing how basically it's supposed to work. So he did his part. The prophecy said his time was up in 1970, and so Brother Johnson showed that. And then Brother Johnson continued on with his version of the branch, called the Isaac branch. And nevertheless, your key word is branch. No matter if you attach Ishmael branch or Isaac branch, your key word is the branch. It still applies to only one thing, and that's Yahshua in the message. In the message. Okay. So now, the Ishmael branch came in the 10th parabolic hour. The Isaac branch came in the 11th parabolic hour. And the Elijah branch came in the 12th parabolic hour. Now you get that? The Elijah branch. Now, the Elijah branch, which is Yahshua and his servant Joshua, my servant the branch. So Yahshua Jones is my servant the branch, antithetical Joshua, which is translates into antithetical Elijah. So Yahweh gives his name, he puts his name on this here name, Eliyahu. He puts it on Elijah, and Elijah is the one that now has the branch message in the 12th hour to put forth. A change of leadership, old ones cut off. This is our new title, subtitle for our subject. The church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Asia. So, this was uttered back in the 1800s, 19th century. Ellen G. White said there at the General Conference, 1888, the church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader. Has turned back and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimony of the Spirit of Yahweh is living in our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. Ministers who preach self instead of Yahshua would have it thus. The testimonies are unwritten and appreciated. Elohim has spoken to you. Light has been shining from his word and from the testimonies, and both have been slighted and disregarded. The result is apparent in the lack of purity and devotion and earnest faith amongst us. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 217, paragraph 2. On the Day of the Atonement of September 1990, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, the Grizzled Horses, SDA, BSDA leaders, are cut off. Okay. Then if that be the case, Rolliff Johnson, then that's when Rolliff Johnson was cut off, because he was a Davidian leader. Branch, Isaac Branch, Davidian, V.T. Holliff, and Rolliff Johnson wrote, he said, V.T. Holliff said that we will have that name Davidian until the church is sanctified. Okay, so the church was far from being sanctified in 1990, so Rolliff Johnson then, on the Day of the Atonement of September 1990, the word Yahweh came unto me saying, the Grizzled Horses, SDA, DSDA leaders, are cut off. So, Rolliff Johnson was one of those DSDA leaders, so he was cut off then at the Atonement of 1990 and didn't know it. He uttered his own prophecy against himself, because he's the angel of the seventh candlestick, Seventh Day Adventist. That makes him a Davidian, and he was a Davidian leader. Okay. Take the chariot with the bay horses and get your hands and walk to and fro through the earth. So, it says, take the chariot with the bay horses and get your hands and walk to and fro through the earth. If you're in hell of August the 1st, 1893. Shows that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, modern Israel, will be brought down to hell. And Zechariah 6:6 shows that the Grizzled Horses, Seventh-day Adventists, and DSDA leaders, SDA and DSDA leaders, are cut off. And that Zechariah 6:7 is a command to the bay horses to take the chariot and to get ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. According to type, the Jewish nation, ancient Israel, was destroyed in 70 A.D. because he rejected Joshua and refused to become a part of the apostolic church. A sobering thought, to say the least, as we look at the antitype SDA and DSDA, Zechariah 4:7, shows that they become a plane. So, since Gilead Center was part of this DSDA, so then here's a prophecy Rolliff Johnson was making against Gilead Center. And so he made this in 1998. He said Yahweh told him that these were cut off in 1990, so 8 years ahead of time, before, Rolliff Johnson had said that the Davidians and the Adventists were cut off. Okay, the antitype of 70 AD. The name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist makes the DSDA Association a part of the Seventh-day Adventist. Well, this is proven by the five groups of laborers, because the Seventh-day Adventists and the Davidians were all classed in that fourth group of laborers pointed out in Matthew 20, verse 5, that was called at the end of the ninth hour to go work in the vineyard in the 10th and the 11th hour, and Rolliff Johnson is making this prophecy here in the 11th parabolic hour. This is proven by Job 14:79, for there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the roots thereof wash over the earth, and the stalk thereof down the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a fan. V.T. Hoddef wrote in 2 TGR 34, page 25, April 17, 1948, that hence the logical name that would represent her work from this time down to the time the kingdom is set up is to be the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So there it is right there. Rose Johnson's quoting V.T. Hoddef, and I'm going to go now and turn to Timely Greetings, Volume 2, number 34, page 25, and I'm going to read it from V.T. Hoddef's own words. And show where Brother Johnson and Gilead Center met the fulfillment of this in 2002. V.T. Hoddef, Timely Greetings, Volume 2, number 34, page 24. Let's read it from there. It says, at the commencement of each message, the people that marched on with the truth were the individual members of the church, which had become a church through the acceptance of a message. So Brother Johnson became a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church by accepting the three angels' messages in 1939. And he became a call porter for the Adventist Church. So he accepted the Seventh-day Adventist message. And that's the only message he ever got. Ever. It was the Seventh-day Adventist of the three angels' messages. I say it was. Then he got a commission to restore the sanctuary when it came his time to be a ruler of the land. A ruler in the church. To be take charge of the candlestick. Then he was given commission. But it wasn't no new message. He was just restoring the downtrodden laws that were trodden down before the Adventists ever came into existence to begin with. So, he says, at the commencement of each message, the people that marched on with the truth were the individuals, members of the church, which had become a church through the acceptance of a message which its founders brought forth. For example, the entire Jewish church did not become a Christian church, but the Christian church drew its members from the Jewish church and brought them to advance truth, truth especially adaptable for the time and the people then. As we are now living in the time of the revelation of the, in the time of the unfolding of the peoples of the prophecies, which point to the setting up of the kingdom as well as to the second advent of the Yahshua. Now here's your key right here. The second advent of the Yahshua in person, in the real live person, visibly. That's what it means by second advent. Him coming invisible, nobody knows about that, and so therefore you can't call that the second coming. You only can, you only can call it as you see it. Not as you, somebody told you it's already happened. Now I can tell you it's the second coming has already happened, and the Bible will back it up. But it's a spiritual second coming, and he comes in the form of his new appointments that he comes by the Spirit and sits up over his visible kingdom. And they are visible leaders that he does this with. Yahshua himself is invisible. So therefore everybody's looking for this when he appears visibly. They call that his second advent. Okay. The church at this time, therefore, could not logically go by a name other than a name which would benefit her present advance phase of the gospel work. Plainly then, her name must express the truth she advocates, that is, the keeping of the commandments. The second advent of Yahshua, and also the restoration of the Davidian kingdom according unto the prophecy. Hence the logical line that would represent her work from this time down to the time that the Chinim is set up is to be a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, a name that testifies of the kingdom message of keeping the commandments of which the seventh-day Sabbath is a part, and of the second advent of the Yahshua. Okay. For the kingdom is set up in the 12th hour, not the 10th or the 11th, like Beatty Harliff and Ben Roden and the Rhoda Johnson tried to expedite and cause it to happen in their time frame, their time zone. No. You got to do it according to Yahweh's time frame. And now, you see that every additional timely truth brings an additional timely name. Okay? So now, what does that mean? Every additional timely truth. Well, every additional timely truth doesn't mean it's every time an additional truth comes, that's a new message. Yeah? It has a name for it, and it is in the form of a message, but it's in the form of, just like we put a title to our messages every day. We have a new message today pertaining to the kingdom, or we have a new message pertaining to the three angels' messages, or we have in addition to. But we don't have a new message, because if we say we got a whole new message, we say we got a whole new movement. We got a whole new everything's new. We have a new hour to work in. We have a new seal that is open. Okay. Now, you see that every additional time of truth brings an additional timely message. Okay. Now, I want to point out here that the total of Matthew 20 teaches about five groups of labors called as five different prophetic intervals on the parabolic time clock, and it was framed in the framework of the 12 parabolic hours on the time clock. And so each one of those parabolic times is accentuated and highlighted in bright colors. And so the inspiration shows that Moses and Yahshua led the first Reformation and the first movement out of Egypt. When did the Reformation begin? With Moses and Yahshua. It began down in Egypt. Who did it begin with? It began with the Pharaoh and the king of the Egyptian people and the king of Egypt. It began down in Egypt. The revival and reformation. Okay. And so, when they got into the wilderness, they had to spend, because of their failures and disbelief, they had to spend extra 40 years that wasn't planned by anyone. They had to spend in the wilderness. And so what happened at the end of 40 years? You had a revival and reformation. You purged out the old and you raised up a new leader. Well, in our day, the story is revival and reformation. Well, the revival and reformation down in Egypt had to do with the children of Israel being in bondage to the Egyptians and being co-mingled with them and their nation. So what about the Adventists today? They're a spiritual Israel co-mingled with the Egyptians. And they're in spiritual bondage to the Egyptian, the Assyrian yoke, to the Assyrian government. And so it says that there has to be a revival and reformation. So where does revival reformation start? It starts in the house of Israel that is co-mingled with wheat and tares. In other words, the Egyptians, again, the spiritual Egyptians. Your tares are represented by the Egyptians. The wheat is represented by the remnant, the purified part that is residing in that the mixed co-mingled church of spiritual Israel and Egyptians. So there you have it. Again, we got to have a revival and a reformation that transcends that first one that's coming out of Egypt. There will never have been any life since the world began when this revival and reformation began. Because, in essence, it won't stop until it has revived every spiritual being that is to be saved. And not only that, it won't stop until it has resurrected all the righteous clear back to Adam. So you're talking about a revival and reformation? Oh yes, indeed. This is there's nothing ever like it in the history of this world or in the universe that ever happened. And Yahweh has called us to head up this everlasting kingdom of heaven to lay the foundation and the bedrock for this revival reformation, because this revival reformation is founded upon the solid rock, the bedrock of eternity, which is Yahshua. He's that solid rock. That's the reason my song says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's the reason the Bible says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Okay, well, I'm thankful that Yahweh gave me that song, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, before I was ever shown it in the Bible. And I was shown it in the Bible after I had written the song, and I just found it so amazing. So amazing. In Isaiah 61, verse 2, it says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But my heart is overwhelmed today. My heart is rejoicing with a great anticipation of where we're at in the stream of time and where we're going from here. And it's all, every step is a step by faith. By faith. Okay. That's enough said for that. Let us go on now with our study. A change of leadership. Old ones cut off. And so now we see how Brother Johnson became a part of these old ones that were cut off, because prophetically, he was in the 11th parabolic hour, and he was part of the last of the fourth group of laborers as called out in 1844, answering the ninth hour bell. In other words, when I say answering the ninth hour bell, that's when the ninth hour struck in 1844, showing that we have entered into the time of the ninth hour movement, which was the fourth group of laborers being called. And so when the bell sounded, it announced new beginnings for the fourth group of laborers to work in laying the foundation and the bedrock for this everlasting kingdom of heaven. And they laid the first stone. Okay, so it says at Passover, this is Brother Johnson talking now, of the 1974, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. This is according to the type and the time element as shown in Luke 22:29-30. And which took place at the Passover of 31 A.D. and the Jewish nation. must destroy it. Okay, now, Brother Johnson was saying that 1974, that kingdom, was a type. No, saying, no, according to the type. Oh, no, that it wasn't a type. According to the type and the time element, but it just so happened that Brother Johnson said the same thing in 2002 at the Passover. He says, you know, this is the antitypical Passover this year because it falls on exactly the same day that it fell 2,000 years ago, and Israel, and it's for the same purpose. That's to purge out the old leaven and become a new lump, so that you may be a new lump, purified, sanctified, to where Yahweh can develop you into the two wave loaves come Pentecost. This is the year for that. And lo and behold, it did happen as far as the day. Our Passover 2002 fell on a Wednesday night, or we call it Thursday night. And 1974, I believe it also fell on a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Wednesday evening and the beginning of the Thursday, just like it did in 31 A.D. So Brother Johnson is using those time periods to pair up. Type and intertype, type and intertype. So he's saying, Yahshua's Passover 2,000 years ago was a type of our Passover today. So he's saying that was that Passover was a type of the kingdom 74. And now he says it's a type of the kingdom 2002. So anyway, but it was Passover in 2,000 years ago was definitely a type, and it was definitely a type for 2002, not 1974. And Brother Johnson finally, after the second time around, he finally got the date right. But then he failed to understand it and failed to know what really is supposed to happen at the Passover. That he was supposed to purge out the old leaven at this Passover. And he didn't know what constituted purging out the old leaven. He didn't know what that meant. Simply what that means is get rid of the old leadership and change the guard. That's essentially what it meant. And he didn't know it. And the Jewish nation was destroyed in 70 A.D. Because whenever Yahshua laid down the type and had the Passover 2,000 years ago, what did he do? Before he sanctified the congregation of the 11 disciples, he had to purge out the old leaven. And the old leaven was in the form of Judas Iscariot. Had to get him out. Well, that's what it means to purge out the old leaven. Okay, so Vernon Johnson, he used the right word here when he says the old ones are cut off, a change of the leadership. He had the right word, the old ones are cut off. He was the tail end of the old ones. Okay, so in 70 A.D., because they rejected Yahshua and the apostolic congregation, likewise, the SDA, DSDA, Yahshua rejected Yahshua and the person of the branch, began in 1970-74 and were cut off in 1990, according to the type of 70 A.D. Okay. Well, you know what? In 1970 A.D., The Davidians, or the Shepherd Rod, and they were the first ones to be given that inspired name, Davidian, and identified as accruing from the house of David, and they were cut off in 1970. They were cut off. And Brother Johnson, it was that feeding pasture, Carmel, that was cut off. But it wasn't the Seventh-day Adventist Church proper that was cut off. It was that branch of that daughter of hers that was cut off in 1970, okay? Seventh-day Adventist brought down to hell the Isaac branch kingdom. Seventh-day Adventist brought down to hell the Isaac branch kingdom. Ark of Safety. Now this is terribly poor grammar, poor punctuation. Just reading the title here is confusing. He should have been written like this: for the Seventh-day Adventist will be brought down to hell, and the Isaac branch kingdom that represents the Ark of Safety today will arise from the ashes and be set up. He should have made a distinction between the two, but let's go ahead. And thou, Capernaum, Seventh-day Adventist, who have been exalted unto heaven in point of privilege, I shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee to be in hell, August 1st, 1893. This judgment message for the Seventh-day Adventist Church was applied to her just 49 years from her call in 1844. Notice, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was called into being in 1844 by the three angels' messages, and that was the backbone of her message clear up to the closing of the sixth seal and the judgment of the dead, 2002. Those three angels' messages was their backbone. Without the three angels' messages, there wouldn't have been no Davidian Adventists. There wouldn't have been any Adventists at all. It was recognized in 1863 and became known as the Laodicean Church. Well, I have news for Rollis W. Johnson that the prophecy says that the Laodicean Church, the seventh candlestick, came on the scene in 1844 with that title. Just because the people didn't recognize it at that time doesn't mean that that's when it was born. It was born in 1844. The seventh church, the seventh candlestick. Elohim sent a message to recover the church in 1888 by Elder John the Matter entitled Righteousness and Justification by Faith. Well, it was sent to recover those that had straight off went to follow those grizzled horse leaders, and that was those rebellious coordinations and a bond, 10 folks to Moses down there out in the wilderness that rose up and rebelled, that said, we're priests too. We can be priests and rulers. We are just as qualified as you are to be a priest and ruler over our people. So that's what those Jesuits, when they infiltrated Red Dad in the church back there in 1800, that's what they said. We're qualified to be prophets and priests and kings just like you are. And so they set up the General Conference organization, and they proceeded to walk parallel with the Bay Horses, represented by Ellen G. White and those that followed her. And those that followed the General Conference leadership represented the followers of the Grizzled Horses, Tame Horses. But the SDA leaders rejected the message in 1890, the Grizzled Horses, and Yahweh called the angel and the message back to heaven. Okay? Well, you know, that's what they said. No, Yahweh lifted it from being preached anymore because they weren't accepting it anyway. They didn't understand it anyway to accept it. So, it says it lifted it and went back to heaven. Well, I believe that the message, yeah, I think it was quickly taken out of the way and covered up and pretended like it never happened, all right. But what was their message? Righteousness by faith. Faith in what? There's only one thing to have righteousness by faith in, and that is the statutes and judgments and the blood of the everlasting atonement. That's the only thing to have righteousness by faith that gives righteousness by faith. That's found in Exodus 24:8 when Moses enjoined that book of the covenant sprinkled with the blood of the animal and said, this has been enjoined unto you as the everlasting covenant by blood. So as a result, none of the Adventists were justified by it. Neither did anyone become righteous. Therefore, Elohim in his wrath sent a message to the Laodicean Church by A.G. White saying, the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall be brought down to hell. It says shall be, means future tense. Here's the tenth. So when was it brought down to hell? 2002 at Kermit, Texas. That's when she finally reached her destination of being brought down to hell, and Rhoda Johnson was her ringleader of leading her back to hell, down into hell. Brethren, what are you going to do now? There's only one answer, only one way out. That is to become a part of the Isaac Branch Kingdom Church, which Fifty Hollis wrote was the Ark of Safety for today. Now this is a very true calling here now, because Rhoda Johnson made this call in 1998, and he did represent the Isaac Branch message in 1998 during in the 11th hour. So he's telling us, our congregation, because there was nobody else there to listen to him, of the Adventist Church, only us. And so therefore he's talking to us directly. So he says there is only one answer, only one way out of this wilderness, out of Gilead Center, is to become a part of the Isaac Branch Kingdom. The Isaac Branch Kingdom. Now, Rhoda Johnson set up the Isaac Branch Kingdom with all of Yahweh's holy divine institutions and laws and statutes and precepts and commandments and Sabbaths and feast days and all a sacred name and the daily. He set it all up. So, that's your true Isaac Branch Kingdom. It was set up under those with that foundation. But they didn't sanctify the congregation because they didn't know how to become sanctified by their own government that Yahweh gave them to set up to sanctify them. They didn't know how to because they had a leader that wasn't spiritually wasn't spiritually ordained for that. And that was Rhoda Johnson. So he said that Rhoda Johnson told him right. He says the only way out of here is to join this government that I have set up. And he was right. Because by me and my wife and I signed the crimes of the abomination being done there in that government, that delivered us out of the Isaac Branch Kingdom into the Elijah Branch Kingdom of the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven. This brings us to the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. And there's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I Never Foretold by the Elijah David about 1967. I wrote this song. And a long time ago, I never foretold what the future might hold to me. That's my idea. When my Savior calls, to Him I will go. I won't follow Him. All wrote in a book from which I took the dust that covered with age. I opened it up and I took one look, and then I read from a page. Be ready and watch and wait for Him to send His sign from above. He'll call down your name with the sweet refrain, and then He'll write it in law. If I could foretell the future as well as the prophets did way back then, my days would be brighter, my load would be lighter, for I want to follow Him. But I never foretold what the future might hold in me. When my Savior calls, to Him I will go, for I want to follow Him. But I never foretold what the future might hold to me. It looks mighty dim. Yes, when my Savior comes, to Him I will go, for I want to follow Him.